Hey, welcome to the 15 Minutes with Frank podcast. My name is Frank, and this is the podcast for where at least 15 minutes, but probably more, we're going to talk about student ministry. I'm so glad you're joining me. I'm glad I'm in your ears. I'm glad I'm in your car. I'm glad I'm on your desktop. I don't know where you're listening to me from, but wherever you are, I'm so thankful because it means a lot that for an unknown amount of time for both me and you, we are going to be talking about student ministry. And today's going to be a different than what we've been doing the past couple of weeks. The past couple of weeks, we've had a couple interviews from a bunch of different people I love and respect. And today is just going to be me. And so I'm going to talk about what I did the night before in my student ministry, as well as give you some of the inside stuff of what I talked about at DYM University in my breakout session. Did I say DYM University? DYM University is on my mind because I've been I've been dealing with my leaders and having them go through it. We just had a graduate, and I've been talking to people, explaining them how to use it. So DYM University is on my mind, but that's not where I did a breakout session. I did a breakout session for DYM 100, and that was the conference for youth pastors in Southern California for DYM. And one of the breakout sessions they had me do was a breakout session on marketing your student ministry. And so, though I would not say by any means am I a genius marketer or anything like that, they asked me to do a session on it, and I just shared a bunch of my thoughts and ideas of how to get your youth group's name out. And so at the end of this podcast, or after I talk about what I did the night before, I'll just give you some of the things I shared in that breakout, and maybe even some stuff I learned while I was talking to the folks in that breakout, because they had some great ideas. And I would love to hear from you. How are you marketing your student ministry? How are you getting the name out? The name of the game is also like marketing without spending a ton of money, right? Like, what are some easy, free ways to get other kids to bring kids to the youth group? So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's talk about what I did the night before. But before we do that too, I gotta plug this. There is a new one-off message of mine that's in the DYM store, and it's one I'm like really, really stoked about. It's called Made for More, and if you listen to this, I believe it was, it was Big Winter Weekend this past February. My sermon was called Made for More, and how we were made, like, that was the theme of our Big Winter Weekend too. And it was basically how we were made for more than what we're living for. And it was the sermon from Ephesians 2:10. And it was a one-off message, and I preached it, and I loved it. It was great. I enjoyed it. And it's in the DYM store, available for super cheap. So if you go to the website, you'll see the link to the sermon. I would love for you to purchase it. I would love for you to review it. I would love for you to use it and using your student ministry, because I thought it was great. You can make it your own. It was a good time. All right, let's dive into what we did this past Sunday on October 8th. All right, so students came in. It was another good night like we had last week. We had a good turnout. We had snacks. We did goldfish crackers. Don't tell the children's ministry, but I may have taken it from the children's ministry. We had a bunch of goldfish crackers, And it was a good time. We're still using the sick playlist that I talked about a couple weeks ago from Cooper Miller. Such a good playlist. It's like the best tunes. And like my leaders are like, what song is that? Like, I want to listen to that in my own time. Like, there's some really good tracks in there. Then we did a countdown video, which is a part of that transition things that I'm not going to plug anymore. You can go back a couple episodes where I talk about the transition videos. You can see those there. And then I played this video, which I've seen this in the DYM store a while ago. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to be funny or if this would be good. But then I was like, I needed a video, and I was tired of like trying to figure this out every single week. So I decided, hey, I'm just going to try this thing. If it flops, I'll never use it again. If it works, I have more videos for the rest of the year. But there's a series of videos called Bad Joke of the Day, which several videos, maybe seven, maybe more, I don't know, a bunch of videos in this bundle where basically they give you like a bad joke premise and then they give you the punchline, and the kids like love it. Like, they ate it up. Like, it was really, really good. They thought it was really, really funny. So I'm going to go and, I want to make sure you guys know about this. It's not that expensive. There's actually two bundles in there. There's Bad Joke of the Day and Bad Joke of the Day 2. And each, like, product has like multiple videos in it. And it was just a great way to kick off the night. Like, here's the funny punchline. Can you get, here's the funny joke. Can you guess the punchline? They're like purposely bad jokes. So what's funny is the first one I showed, I forgot what the joke was, but it wasn't funny. But all the kids were like, I just heard them mumbling, it wasn't that bad of a joke. Like, it wasn't terrible. I forgot what the joke was. It was like, what did the cookie say to his therapist? I had a crummy day. That might not be the joke, but that is like the essence of the joke, if you get what I'm saying. So we showed that, and then we went to announcement transitions where we showed a video for the transition to our announcements, and then we had a guy come up, and then I went up with him. I did like three really random like would you rather questions just for people to get to know him, and then he went in and did the announcements. And then we started playing games. So typically in our student ministry, we try to play two games. One game for like 15 minutes and one game for 10 minutes. And also when we play games, we try to do it where like one game is like the whole group and then one game is just like an upfront game. What we've been finding is like two games doesn't always work out. Like as much as like I would love that to be the case, sometimes one game takes way too long and we still do the second game, but then we're way behind schedule. So I talked to my games guy, and everyone was like, hey, let's play one game tonight, and if it flops, cut it early and then play the second game. And so I'm not even going to tell you what the second game, the backup game was, because we're probably going to play it in a week or two, so you can listen to it in a week or two. But the main game we played was a game called Encore. And we, listen, this game was so good, we didn't get all the way through it. Like, we played it, and we went 25 minutes, and we only went like four or five slides in. It was so, such a hit. So it's in the DYM store. I'm going to put it in the links in the show notes. And basically, here's how the game works. You can download this game. You can download the slides. So if you've like ever watched, maybe this is not good. I don't know. I saw the movie. I'm not endorsing the movie, but there's a movie called Pitch Perfect. And in Pitch Perfect, there's like this sing-off, you know, where like there's a word and then people have to go back and forth singing songs that have that word in it. So if the word is, I can't think of anything right now. The word go, you know, I can't think of a song with the word go in it. But like basically, like rock, right? So one group is a jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, rock. And then, someone would stand up and start singing it and the rest of the team would like come in to help them out. And then when they're done singing their part, the next team, would some person would stand up and be like, we will rock you. And then the rest of the people stand up and start singing with them, right? And you keep going back and forth until one team cannot think of a song with that word in it, right? First off, forgive me for all the ears that are bleeding right now. I am clinically tone deaf. I don't know if you can be clinically tone deaf, but if you can be, I am. Secondly, the kids loved this game, man. I had to tell my game guy, we gotta end it. We're gonna be late for worship. And so we played it. It was a huge hit. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I played version 3. I didn't even know 1 and 2 have been out. So this was a hit. Make sure you go get this game. It was such a good game. I'm gonna one thing I feel convicted about is like DYM really wants people to review their games and review their all the items, and so I'm telling you to review my stuff too if you like it. If you don't like it, don't review it. But I'm like reviewing this because this was such a good hit. Like, it was such a good game. So check it out. It's in the DYM store. After we had to cut the game short and they were like begging us, can we do one more word? Can we do another word? They were so into it. What's great is now because like we only played like 5 words, I could play this game again with the remaining words. And it's like, I could use this game twice because, you know, we didn't use all the words. Then we went to worship and we played After All, Holy. That's the name of the song, After All. Another song was Only Christ Forever, Only King Forever, and Great Are You, Lord. The worship was good. We had a good time, and we're getting better. Now that our main worship guy was gone, we're getting better as a worship team. It's getting good. Then I came up and preached, and we're in this series called Foundations, and last night's message was on the message on the image of God. And so to give you some context, and I think I was doing the podcast when I was doing this. I don't remember, but like, a while back, I did a series called Image Bearers, and Image Bearers was basically the whole series talking about how we're creating the image of God, and like, what does that mean? And we focus more on like manhood, biblical manhood and womanhood in that series, but not so much about homosexuality and gender. And so we talked about identity and our image in that series. And this one, when I talked about image of God, I explained what it meant to be, you know, image bearers and what that means in terms of our value and our worth and like the God-given characteristics inside of us that aren't in any other creatures. We talked about that, but one thing I wanted to focus on for the remainder of my time was the implications of being image bearers. So I talked about three things, and there are so many other topics I could have talked about, but I tried to do some three things because I knew it was going to be a heavier night and I didn't want to overwhelm them. So we talked about three very heavy topics: racism, abortion, and gender, and like, you know, the issue of gender, you know, like, can a girl be, is gender fluid, that type of thing. And so in our context, we're multi-ethnic. Talking about racism is not like a controversial topic. I think it's more of an issue of like, how do we process these things because they're so young, not to like, it's not an issue of me like pointing out the reality that racism is wrong. They all get that. But it's more of pointing out like, how should they be processing racism without getting angry or not doing dumb things based, you know, being around racist people, or how should we help our friends who are racist, or how, you know, those type of things. So that's kind of more of our context. Abortion is one of those things where I like, it's not like our, well, let me say this also. Our church takes a very strong stance on racism to the point where like we get, like our church gets accused of like being like liberal, like left-winged or something. I don't know if that's even a thing, but like we get accused of like being liberal because we take so many strong stances on racial harmony and racial reconciliation, things like that, which I love. I love that about our church. And then when it comes to abortion, it's not like we are out in front of, you know, abortion clinics, you know, not rioting, but like protesting and stuff like that. But we have like taken, you know, hard stances in the ground about how we feel about abortion, how we think, you know, there's a sanctity of life and things like that. And I think it's one of those issues that our kids don't necessarily deal with or talk about. And I think like if they're a push, they would probably can be like, yeah, maybe there's kids in their school that would be pro-choice versus pro-life, and very rarely just maybe, and maybe I could be completely wrong, this conversation's happened, but I think it was helpful to just kind of put in the forefront, like, this is what we as a church believe, this is what I believe we as Christians should believe, and so we talk about that, based on the fact that we're image bearers, the implications of that trickle down to what we believe about babies in the womb. And then the third topic was about gender and about gender fluidity. And we talked to, you know, we've talked about our student ministry before about homosexuality and issues like that. We haven't talked about gender per se, simply because, like, I mean, in the grand scheme of like the past 30 years, right, or 20 years, the issue of like gender stuff has been more recent, you know, like homosexuality has been an issue since I was in high school. And I remember my youth pastor talking about it. So talking about gay marriage or same-sex attraction, that's something that we've always heard about. In our youth group, that's not like like we talk about it a couple times a year, and that's not like the church, like the youth know what we believe, but when it comes to like gender, that was a unique thing. And to give you some context, there is a student that I have that is actually processing this idea of transitioning from a girl to a boy, and we are wrestling with it as a student ministry. And you know, I'm still very much processing and praying how to handle this well and asking the Lord to give me guidance and seeking out wisdom. Whatever is happening, though, she keeps coming back. And she knows very well where I stand, and she knows where the church stands. And she has been here for the entire tenure that I've been here, and she hasn't left. And so... I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know, but I'm thankful that she still keeps coming because I feel like I'm preaching truth and she's still in the youth ministry. But it's not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It's just one of the things where like I want to love her well, but I also want to guide her as the Holy Spirit guides me to guide her, you know? And so the weird thing is she actually wasn't there for the message, but one thing I've learned in student ministry is you should never write a message for one student because that usually doesn't end well for you or the student. So I just wrote the message with the convictions I had according to scripture, And there was a good discussion in small group. So it was a good night. It was heavier. My leaders had to have a lot of processing afterwards. And it wasn't bad processing. It was just more of like them processing their own convictions on this. And then being able to kind of figure out, you know, how do we love our students if they are struggling with or dealing with this type of thing. And so that's kind of the situation we're in. So this is real life youth ministry, guys. This is the real deal stuff. Yeah, small groups went well, and then we transitioned out. So it was a good night. I'm looking for next week. Next week is, I don't think it's going to be as heavy. Hopefully not. We're going to specifically talk about sin and just like, you know, how sin came into the world and you know, how the effects of sin today. You know, I'm still debating whether or not we're going to be talking about the problem of evil, but the reality is we're going to talk about sin. So we'll see how that goes. So anyways, at DYM 100, I talked about marketing your student ministry. So what I want to do for the next few minutes, and I won't be long, is to kind of share with you, like what I said to the other youth pastors about the way I market my student ministry. And so here's the first big idea. If you just stop this podcast right now, the one thing I want you to take is this: is there's no greater way to promote your student ministry than when students are excited about what's happening in your ministry. So if you can get your kids who are already there excited about your ministry to invite their friends, nothing's going to beat that, because you can literally have billboards and spend hundreds of dollars on all this stuff, and it's not going to replace the impact of your students inviting their friends. So getting your kids excited about your ministry is huge. But other than that, here's some easy ways. So one thing I like to do when it comes to like camps or big events that you want your kids to come to, right? One thing I do, or you want an event where you want a lot of signups on the front end so you can kind of figure out how to buy stuff, you give incentives when people sign up that don't, but here's the key, that don't cost anything. So one thing we do for camp is we do the thing called the Fuse Camp 5. And I got this idea from my buddy Nick Farr, who did this in his student ministry in Tuscan. I'm stuttering because I don't know if that's in Arizona or New Mexico. It's in the Southwest. I'm sure someone's going to make fun of me. But I actually don't know if he's in Tuscan or Tucson. Did I say Tuscan? He's in Tuscany. He's in Italy. No, is Tuscany in Italy? Man, I sound so ignorant right now. He is in the Southwest, and he's in Tucson, Arizona. That sounds right. I'm going to stick with it. And he talked about the first five signups. And so I saw this idea. This is what I do for the first five. Everything, if you sign up, if you're the first five, everything's free except one thing. So the one thing that's not free is they get a special t-shirt. And so that's going to run you, depending on how much your shirts are, somewhere between $8 to $10 a shirt, especially because it's such a small order. If you're only doing five shirts, it's going to be like $8 to $10 on the cheapest, probably, unless you have a super good deal. And that shirt can be just like a black shirt that's just first five, or my artist said Fuse Camp 5. But everything else, all the other incentives were free. So one incentive is they got the shirt, they get to choose who they want to sit with on the bus, they get to choose the seat before anyone else, they get to choose the bunk that they want to sleep in and their bunk mate, and they get to skip everyone else in the line for every meal. So because we had like a buffet style, and so the first five got to go to each meal for free, and then everyone else went. And what was cool about that is people took their incentive and used it as a way to serve others. So if they were to skip everyone in meals, they said, okay, for this meal for lunch, I'm going to give my skip a line thing to someone else to serve them. It was just really neat to see that. But all those are free, right? All those are free. And except for the shirt, but you don't have to do the shirt. Don't advertise the shirt. The moment you start marketing incentives with stuff that costs money, you won't be able to stop giving incentives that cost money. So start off really, really small with these free things that they don't realize. I mean, they won't think about the fact that it doesn't cost you anything. That's not what they're thinking about. And they're not thinking about how it costs you anything when you get a shirt either, because it doesn't cost them anything. But when it costs you stuff, think about what works for free. What incentives in your context could you give away for free? Maybe there's like a special seating area where you have like a set of couches where the students can sit in if they bring a friend to youth group or if they bring a Bible to church. You know what I'm saying? You can have like, you know, they get first access to the snack bar. They get to choose the songs for worship next week. Like, you can come up with these different incentives that cost you nothing but gives these people a sense of entitlement. And yeah, we probably don't want to give our kids more entitlement, but this is a form of marketing. when it comes to events, you know, one thing I found is business cards are way more cheaper and you get more of it than postcards. And so business cards are an easy way to promote your ministry. You know, the main thing though is make sure those designs are good. So like, make sure you get someone that designs well. Don't be making stuff in PowerPoint. Like, have someone make good art for you. And it's like, if you have to use Fiverr or something, I mean, you use someone else, but don't make crappy art, because that's just going to devalue your event and your ministry. Again, stuff that costs money to promote. I think shirts and hoodies are still king. Like, kids love shirts and kids love hoodies. And if you can, if you see it as an advertising thing, as like a way to promote your ministry, then you don't. Then like, if you can see it that way, then realize you're not a fashion brand, right? You're not trying to make money off this stuff. The point of these shirts and these hoodies are to get your brand out, to get the ministry's name out there. So if you need to like coop some of the money back, make it $5. Like, tell like we're not trying to make our money back. If you absolutely can't do that, like you can't budget for that kind of stuff, then just try to sell it at cost. Don't try to make a profit on it. But ultimately, kids wearing your gear out in the public is going to be huge. But the key is making good stuff. So like a simple, like nice t-shirt with your logo on it kills. Now, what is important is this. Make sure your shirt is a good brand. So I love using the brand Bella Canvas. And if you're using any kind of reputable printing company, they'll know the brand Bella Canvas. There's a brand called American Apparel. I don't know if they exist anymore. They probably do, but they're terrible. They're just kind of a shady company, but their quality of shirts were really, really soft and nice and very like fashionable. A lot of bands in the 2000s were printing on those shirts. Bella Canvas is a very similar kind of material without the grimy advertising stuff that they do. I would stay away from like Gildan and things like that. Anvil's fine. I would stay away from Gildan and Hanes, because those shirts tend to be just like cut really weird. And especially if you're a bigger guy, you're going to feel weird. And obviously a lot of youth pastors who are bigger get nervous about these more fashion brand type of t-shirts. I like Bella Canvas. They go up pretty big sizes, but remember, you're printing these shirts for your kids, not for you. If you want one 4X shirt in a Gildan just for you, you can always do that, I think. So a lot of printing companies don't make you have to have a minimum of a certain brand. If you do, change your printing company. Stickers, bottles, journals, those all work well. And, you know, you can go to a ton of different websites to print stuff. I have a local guy that I print my shirts with. But if you've, like, Google printing bottles and stuff like that, that's probably where I print my bottles and my stickers and stuff like that. Stickermule.com is a great website. They have a cuss word in their slogan, so beware of that, but they're like the greatest stickers ever. One idea that I think is really cool that someone told me was, and so let me tell you my idea, and I'll tell you what his idea was. One idea is if you're printing t-shirts, print the t-shirts that are the same as the school colors of the local schools. So if a kid's school that they go to is a blue and gold, and you print your shirts blue and gold, they're more likely to get that shirt because they go wear it at school during the Spirit Days. If you can, there was a youth pastor who would like print shirts that said like "Go Cougars" and like, or "Go Lions" or whatever, in the school colors, and it was like on the back was a youth group logo and stuff like that. Those type of stuff, if you can tie into the school spirit, it's a huge win. Someone mentioned to me at DYM 100 that they bought a bunch of like miniature cowbells and put their youth group logo on the cowbell. I don't know, they bought the cowbells on like Amazon or something, and then they gave the cowbells to the student section. And so whenever there was a touchdown or the other team was on offense and they were on defense, they would ring the cowbells. And so there's like 1,000 cowbells with your youth ministry logo in the hands of 1,000 students. Giant, giant win. And then, you know, there's stuff that costs more money, Facebook ads and Instagram. I would only touch that stuff if you're doing like a giant, like a D-Now, a big event where you want the masses to come to. I would not waste your time on that just promoting your everyday program, because it's going to be money in the toilet, I think. That's my personal idea. And like, I thought about ads in the mall, ads in the movie theater, but again, those are for like giant, giant events. Yeah, that's all I got. I was trying to think of anything else I would share with you guys about what I talked about in that session. This is one last thing. If you're struggling with like promoting your student ministry within your own church, so like let's say you're at a larger church, or even if you're at a smaller church, I mean, I was in a church that had like 250 people in it, and there was kids in the church on Sunday morning that weren't coming to my youth group. And I didn't understand why. One thing I always say is this, is if you, two things that if you do, like, you'll kill it. One is preach well when you preach. Don't preach like the youth pastor. Preach like a pastor, right? And kill that sermon, because parents will be like, I want my kid in that youth group. And then two, make much of parents. If you, like, I'm doing a parent seminar. If you can help parents be equipped to raise their teenager, they're going to have more reason or guilt, either way, to get their student into your youth group. And those are two ways I've seen. You know, one thing we do sometimes also in our context is we, like, the beginning of every school year, when there's like an influx of new people and stuff like that, I have this thing called Headhunters, where I get my volunteers to put on youth group shirts, and they go out and they specifically find kids that they don't recognize in the youth ministry, and they invite them to youth group and, like, give them candy and invite them to church and stuff. So that's what we do. I would love to hear what you do in your context to promote your ministry. But hey, check out me on social media. Come find me. Come add me. Subscribe to the podcast. Like, review, all that stuff. Whatever you want to do. But if you want to do something for me, if you want to really, really help me, what would mean the most to me is telling another youth pastor about this podcast. Share it on a Facebook group. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Instagram. You telling other youth pastors, the same way how the most effective way to market your student ministry is by getting students excited about your ministry, the most effective way to help me out is by you telling your youth pastor friends, your network of youth pastors, hey, there's a cool podcast called 15 Minutes with Frank, where for more than 15 minutes, Frank is going to talk about student ministry, and he's a dope beard. That means a lot to me. All right, friends, until next week. Bye, buddies.